entrepreneurship is in massive increase, not just in a way of like, hey, I'm going to start the next Google or Uber, but just the fact that like company sizes are getting smaller and there's more like freelancers, contractors, like you, everybody kind of is becoming a little bit like that. And in that situation, it's really important that you know what you want and yourself, you're managing yourself at some capacity.
You're listening to the Almost 30 Podcast, a lifestyle podcast hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek.
Tune in for a new episode every Tuesday to hear our honest conversations about topics like wellness, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and self-development with guests who are really smart, really inspirational,
and really fucking funny. It's real, it's raw, and it's unfiltered.
Inspired by our transition from our 20s to our 30s, we realized it's so much more than that. Our mission is to provide you with the tools, guidance, and motivation to help you navigate any transitions in your life and propel your personal growth.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 Podcast.
Here we go. Hello.
Welcome to the Almost 30 Podcast.
The podcast that will hopefully make you laugh, inspire you, make you feel not alone.
Yeah. Get you off your couch and into the gym.
just kidding. Deeper into your couch.
Yeah, literally.
We like to chill.
Lately, Justin. So I'm Krista. If you're new to the podcast, I have a significant other. I have a partner. His name's Justin. And we have been deep into Gaia. Have you heard of Gaia?
You briefly told me about it. Gaia's, I need to know more.
Gaia's going to fucking rock your world. So Gaia's a channel that you could get. It's like...
on streaming?
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if it's streaming, but we actually... So we have Roku and we added it to our Roku channels.
Yeah.
So you can get it on Roku. And I think you have to subscribe and we use someone else's password because, you know, adulthood. And it's like for consciousness shows. So it has meditation, yoga, but then it has tons of like things on aliens, tons of things on like mindfulness, tons of things on energy, quantum physics, outer space. Like it is like...
This is like Krista and Justin Network.
Bye. It is the craziest thing ever. And so we've been like deep into it. And honestly, it's kind of hard because sometimes it's like I need a second because they go fast. Like we just... I don't know. We just learned about Gnostic, which is like a religion. And they were talking a lot about like the creation of the, like, I don't even know. The creation of the universe. And it was the most confusing thing that's ever happened. I felt like I was stoned, even though I wasn't. Mm. But they were talking about this experiment that you guys have to look up that Justin and I, that I have been thinking about for days. It's called the double slit experiment. So you can look it up online and there's really, really good videos that show, you know, what happened in the experiment, but it's basically like an experiment in quantum physics. Okay. So stay with me, you guys. Okay. So using protons, which are particles of matter that make up everything in the earth as we know it, they like shot these particles of matter to this wall that had two slits in it. So the normal person would assume that the protons would go directly through the slits and hit the wall behind it. Because you would think it would just continue to go straight. If there's nothing that's moving against the force, you know, such as gravity, which at some point would make it stop, it would just hit the wall straight on. You know, just go straight. It wouldn't like go to the right, go to the left. So all the protons, that's our assumption, would just go straight into the wall through the slits. But what happened was, is that the protons would move through the slits and then they would create a wave pattern that would hit the wall. So not only would they disperse against the wall, but they would create this wave pattern that would hit the wall rather than just going directly forward and hitting the wall at the place where the slits happened. So by dispersing and then creating waves, these protons did this like without anyone even thinking anything of it. So that's kind of odd at first that they did that. But then what happened, so they thought that was odd and it is odd. So then what happened is that when they started to consciously observe this experiment with the protons, where they shot the protons against the wall with the two slits between it, the protons changed their course and changed their action to be in line with the assumption that they would just hit the wall directly on. So instead of making a wave pattern like they were doing before we were observing the experiment. They did what we thought would happen, and they just hit the wall directly where the slits were.
Wow.
So it was that the consciousness and the observer changed the actions of the protons. So not by speaking, not by doing anything else, but by conscious observation did the actions of the protons change. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
It's called the double slit experiment. Look it up. It's the fucking craziest thing ever.
So how would you translate that to humans? Like, so it's like the...
So I think about it. Well, they think about it in quantum physics that like this experiment would say that without consciousness, our universe as we know it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So like the fact that we are consciousness, mm-hmm. that we are conscious creates our universe as we know it and creates it in time. So it is almost like a lot like I translate it as me being more conscious of my thoughts, being more conscious of what I am thinking, because if these protons, which we are all made up of matter, are changing based on what thoughts are and the consciousness of the experiment, think about how your thoughts affect this mass. Yeah. So oftentimes we come into the universe, you know, by some assumptions that we were chosen, you know, to come as a spirit into this body and chose to be with this family. And you have like all these wounds that you've taken from various lives, which you could say that too. And then that would be like all your consciousness and your matter has taken on the imprinting of your family. And so that's probably why it's challenging to often change the course of how your protons or the energy of your body acts. But like, I've been thinking that about that a lot lately is like how powerful the thoughts and consciousness of our being are if it can do stuff like that in experiments.
Absolutely. Yeah. It makes me think of like even the work we've been doing with Milana, like in Reiki sessions where like, she was talking about there was one session that was just really heavy with kind of like healing ancestral stuff. And so like it is that almost reprogramming or moving of that imprint of like generations, that consciousness of whatever it is, maybe it's settling or you know, pain in terms of like, you know, self-talk, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's so interesting. And it's just, it also makes me think about like how beings, how matter reacts when it knows it's being watched or what it expects of it.
Yep.
So just like human beings, because that's just my experience. But I mean, even just as like stupid as being in a workout and knowing when like the instructor is either watching me or has like an expectation or is conscious of my effort.
Yeah.
My body does things that 2 seconds ago, my mind was like, oh fuck no. So like their consciousness of my, you know what I mean? Like their consciousness of my potential or my ability helped my physical body to like meet that expectation. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting.
Also too, it's like the interconnectedness of everything. Like we have access to source and we have access to everyone else. And so our thoughts could also affect how everyone else's, you know, energy being is acting and energy being is doing. So a lot of times it's like when people assume that someone is going to X, Y, and Z, they oftentimes X, Y, and Z. Is it because of the assumption? Is it because of our thoughts creating the reality? Their thoughts also creating the reality, their imprinting creating the reality? Or is it like the actions come after? You know what I mean? It's kind of like an interesting thing to think about too, is like, I try and think about that a lot lately as well, as like, well, I don't know where I was. I was with someone and I was like, oh, I don't think they're comfortable with me. You know, and I was just kept thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, I love you so much. Like I kept thinking, I'm like, oh, I love you so much. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, I hope your heart is open. And I was just like thinking, I'm like, I hope that they can be more comfortable around me if I send them this like loving energy and send them this like positive energy, because, you know, I don't think that they feel that like safe around me or, you know, something. They're just not feeling like completely 100%. But it is so too, like, so thinking about when you have negative thoughts about people or negative thoughts about situations, like those matter, you know, and a lot of times it's valid. You know, a lot of times it's like you're in a situation at work or whatever, where it's like a shitty person, place, or thing, and you're going to have that feeling because it's actually happening in the now. But it's just interesting to also think about how like what you think plays a part.
Absolutely. Because I if I get it caught up in kind of like the fleeting feelings of like they're annoying or I don't think they have the best intentions, I'm kind of overlooking the fact that like we have the power to set people up for success when mm-hmm. they're interacting with us. So like really mm-hmm. giving them the best chance to just be themselves. I think like what hurts us in the first place is when people aren't themselves or they feel like they have to be a certain way around us when really maybe it's part of our job to mm-hmm. create that like mm-hmm. environment. It's almost like a science experiment where you create the best environment for them to just show up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I find myself doing that. Even people I don't really know that well, but I just feel a little allergic to their energy. And so like I have to be super conscious of like my body language, my tone and what I'm saying and just my feeling towards them because I know that they're just perpetuating what I think about them because I'm not treating them any differently than I would when I feel like I'm allergic to them.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's like not fair. You know what I mean? And not that I'm going to be best friends with them, but it's like, I'm trying to be more conscious of that. Cause it's not fun to like want to avoid someone.
I know.
Or like just be uncomfortable. I'm like, yeah. I want to see if there's an opportunity for connection there, even if it's just a moment.
Yeah.
But
there's just some things that are hard to not be like quick to turn.
Yeah. But it's cool to like look to science for like lessons like that. I think we look to self-help books that humans have written and you're like, okay, like, so what's their experience? But then if you really go deep into the science of life.
Yep.
And
quantum physics explains like everything.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
There's so many lessons there that could...
There's so many learnings that have happened in the past years that like no one's talking about, you know, that we keep finding... universes that had like we recently found the universe that had like 8 or 9 planets that are exactly like Earth that are capable of having human life on Earth. You know what I mean?
Maybe my husband's there.
Yes. we need to bring him here. Yes. He's on.
Because now that you're telling
Australia
me,
of the second universe.
Now that you're telling me that there's 7 other Earths, yes, I'm just going to wait.
Totally. Yes, he's coming. There's just so much. So Gaia is the... Gaia's the channel, and you guys, it's fucking
I wonder
crazy.
If I can get it on my little Apple TV.
Oh, I think so.
G-A, like same as Roku.
IA, non-sponsored, they should be. And they also, I want to watch documentaries. They have documentaries on chemtrails.
Oh.
I know.
That'll fuck me up.
I know, man. That'll I'm all about chemtrails right now. Up. But I need to set aside time where I can appropriately feel some type of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm going to put aside 2 hours where my heart can be broken.
I mean, there is shit happening in our atmosphere that like, the fact that nobody knows about it, generally nobody knows about it. How is that legal on Earth?
Dude, I don't know. It's one of those things, man. It's all people just running this shit. You know what I mean? It's like you get older and you're like, oh, you know, the government and financial yeah. institutions and all this stuff. And you're just like, it's all people,
yeah.
humans, humans doing
who make
human stuff,
mistakes,
who make mistakes and who like, you know, whatever.
Want to jerk off to chemtrails.
Yeah. Double slit experiment. Didn't expect that one, guys.
What an intro.
What an intro. Two dumb blondes. Quantum physics.
Proving you wrong. Proving one you conversation wrong. At a time.
We saw some of you guys have signed up for IIN with us using the code ALMOST30 for $1,000 off. So I'm so excited for your IIN journey. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome. A lot of my friends, even if they're not looking to make it a full blown career, I think it's so interesting. They kind of have this knowledge as they're becoming moms or like just another aspect of their business that could benefit them. So I think it's great.
There's so many of our friends that are IIN certified. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then just another little note, your podcast pro has been launched. So if you are interested in starting a podcast, you want to do it for your brand, you want to do it just for fun, you want to do it because you're obsessed with Legos and you want to talk about Legos for an hour a week, or you want to talk about Fortnite for an hour a week, whatever it is, Lindsay and I have been in the game for a few years now and we would love to help you out. So by going to yourpodcastpro.com, you will find all the resources you need to start a podcast as well as information on our course that we are launching in January.
Yeah, we'd love to have you join us.
There's limited spots, so make sure you sign up.
Yes. Okay, so today on the podcast, we have our good friend, Tara, one of the founders and just one of the founders of Four Sigmatic and just one of the smartest people we know. He wrote another book recently, Santa Sold Shrooms.
Dude.
Right in time for Christmas.
This book is crazy. Like... Well, I just, so I was like, oh, cool. Santa sold shrooms. I'm like, okay, Santa sold Four Sigmatic. Like, got it. But it's actually the real story behind Santa.
Yeah.
Like,
we've been brainwashed.
We have been brainwashed. So
he's debunking. He's just like, yo, that's actually not the story.
Yes.
And this is the story. And the real story is so much more interesting. And
you find out how reindeer flew through the sky, what made pine trees a quintessential part of holiday preparation. So why do we always decorate pine trees? And then how elves got roped into the whole Santa thing. And then there's a little bit of mushrooms, of course.
Yes. But we talk about a lot, not only the book, but kind of what Tara's been up to.
Yeah.
He just bought a ghost town. And
yes.
Is, and is
he's so smart and he's so, so cool. Kind. And Four Sigmatic has been like good friends of ours and they've been such a support to us. So we love anytime we can get with Tara.
Yep. So thank you, Tara, for coming on and hanging with us. And thank you guys for listening. Join our secret Facebook group. We love the conversations we've been having lately. So join in. It's a supportive, funny, amazing community. People are making new friends all the time, meeting up in person. We have subgroups as well. So if you search Almost 30 Podcast and your city, see if there's a subgroup. If not, start one. Let us know. Contact us when you start a subgroup. We're growing this thing.
Growing like crazy. And thank you, Shara, for overseeing the ambassador program. So these subgroups are part of our ambassador program for Almost 30 Nation. So we're really making it easy for you guys to host events in your city, to connect with other like-minded individuals who are interested in the same things you are, to make new friends, to kind of have an evolved community in your area. So thank you, Shara, for that. And thank you, ambassadors, for being a part of this amazing community of Almost 30 Nation.
We love you.
We love you. Enjoy. Guys, I am so pumped. Justin couldn't believe that we are working with Nutribullet because my nickname at home is Jamba Juice. I am, much to his dismay, I am blending things up at 6 a.m. I am blending things up in the evening. I make smoothies, my teas, everything like that. So when Nutribullet said that they wanted to work with Lindsay and I could not have been more honored.
Yeah, truly. It's a brand that, one, they've, you know, they've been around for so long. Mm-hmm. They've evolved with kind of the trends and the needs of people who are really serious about health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I'm just obsessed with this brand.
I am too. And then so we've been working with them. So before I had the regular Nutribullet and I loved it, I've had it for years and years. And so I was really thankful that they sent us the balance because I have a tendency to... overpack my smoothies. And I put so much in there and, you know, a lot of times I can get all the nutrients I need and not have as much. So it's kind of been a good eye-opening thing for me to have the balance, the Nutribullet balance, and then have the app and sort of track and see how much and how many calories and fat and carbs of everything in my smoothie that I'm putting in. Mm-hmm. So I'm not being hard and fast with anything, but it does really help me understand my nutritional macros and, you know, whatever I'm having for my breakfast so that I can kind of take that into consideration for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's so great. And it's not intimidating. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, sometimes when brands say they've like made things more high tech, I get nervous. This is so user friendly, not intimidating at all. It's kind of fun. It makes like the smoothie making, or if you're making soups or dressings, whatever you're making, really, really fun. So they've collaborated with nutritionists, dietitians, app developers, and just created this really fun experience. And you can customize it to fit your own needs, and you will just enjoy it. It's like one of those things where you're like, oh, this is actually fun.
They have tons of recipes and smoothie types. Mm-hmm. Like you can be like, I want low sugar, or I'm diabetic, I'm vegan, I need high protein. So on the app, you have the ability to get all these amazing recipes tailored to whatever your diet needs are.
Yeah. And so with the help of Bluetooth technology and the smart nutrition sensor, it's able to actually tell you the calories, protein, carbs, fat, and sugar intake based on the ingredient volume in the actual container of the NutriBullet Balance. So it's really exciting technology, making your life easier. The more you know, I think it's just like really powerful to have that information as you nourish your body. So for our listeners, we're really, really excited. We get to offer you 25% off if you use the code ALMOST30 at checkout. So you can go to NutriBulletBalance.com and use our code ALMOST30 for 25% off. So that's NutriBulletBalance.com. Code is ALMOST30 for 25% off.
I use so much from Thrive Market. Well, like this morning as an example. Layered superfood creamer.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in my matcha. Matcha's from Thrive. I also use the apple cider vinegar, which is more affordable from Thrive. And then their coconut oil, I oil pull.
Yeah. I mean, literally you can get anything.
Yeah. It's the basics for living like a healthy life.
Mm-hmm. So you can shop for thousands of the best-selling organic foods and natural products at 25 to 50% below traditional retail prices, which is just incredible. And it comes straight to your door, which
packaged
is so nice.
Really, really nicely.
So nice.
They do a beautiful job. I don't know how much they spend. I'm like, how do you guys?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, do you have a person do this?
And honestly,
I think they do.
Everything is thoughtfully packaged. Mm-hmm.
So they charge a small membership fee for only $60 a year, roughly $5 per month. You're able to access all of the organic food you need. So with every paid membership, this is amazing. A free membership is given to a low-income family, public school teacher, military veteran, or first responder. And if you don't make back the $60 in savings, which you definitely will, Thrive Market has a happiness guarantee and will refund you the $60. This rarely is refunded because most people save
a lot of money.
And now, so excited, they just launched a clean wine. So it's made from organic, biodynamic, or sustainably farmed grapes. They are sourced from small and mid-sized producers. It's just, it's thoughtfully curated, which I always love because I don't do my research that much on wine. So to have someone curate it and do the research for me is so great. No added sugar during the winemaking process, minimal filtration.
I think that's the best part. Like people wonder about wine, and I've wondered about where to get clean wine.
Completely.
Low sugar wine that doesn't make me feel like crap, that isn't full of, you know, so many additives. So it's really, really nice that Thrive Market is now participating in, you know, the wine part of this, and you can just trust that you're going to get great, great stuff.
It's the best. So you can go to thrivemarket.com/almost30 and use our code almost30 to get an extra 25% off your first order and a box of wine capped at $20 off your order. So you go to thrivemarket.com/almost30, use our code almost30.
I have a lot of questions.
That was a whole lot of nothing.
The first question is, where are the brain sticks?
Where are the freaking brain sticks?
Why did you get rid of them?
Uh-oh.
It's the high standard. There was 2 grams. The other one had 2 grams. The other had 3 grams of maltodextrin to put into a powder at a high volume in a factory in a stick that has this big. The mouth is like tiny.
Right. Yeah.
It needs to flow really fast. So most supplement companies put a lot of like fillers and binders to get it in. And we got down to 2 grams and 3 grams. So I was still not happy. So I'm determined to find a way how a real food can get into that stick pack. So I think I have the solution now.
Cool. Okay.
We're waiting.
There are ways.
They're so good.
So it's essentially, okay. So
it's just like me having a too high of a standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the story of my life.
Yeah. Not mine. <Same. laughs> Not mine at all. But wait, so the sticks are going through the thing and maltodextrin is a filler, but you didn't want too much of it.
Maltodextrin is not necessarily a filler. It's used in a lot of supplements.
Yeah.
It's usually derived from corn. We use like non-GMO corn, but but it's a sugar. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So having 2 to 3 grams of sugar, I'm not sure.
I know what you mean.
Mm. It's like if it would have been a coconut palm sugar, I would have been fine. Mm. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like maltodextrin, I'm not fine.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I'm still determined to make it work. Like most of the supplements have all kinds of stuff they don't disclose.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah.
So
I'm glad that you told me
that. That's why I trust your brand.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm still determined. We have like the charcoal. It would be so much better in a stick pack because it makes a mess.
Where were we? And I literally, it was an explosion.
Yeah.
There was black powder.
And it's over.
But I love it.
I do too.
So hopefully I'll figure out a way how it would be in a stick so you can just pour it like a sugar pack.
Yeah.
Kind of like into a water bottle.
Wow.
You will. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So it's been like over a year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
Yeah.
So much has happened.
So this is your second podcast ever.
100%.
Or your favorite podcast ever.
Did you listen to podcasts before? And that's why you like...
You're so good on
them.
Like it's...
I did for a moment. So the long story short, I don't read books. Mm. Like I stopped reading about 10 years ago. So I felt like I needed to develop my own thinking. And there was so much input. And at that point, I already read a lot. Like if you've not been an intense reader, then maybe it's not the best strategy. Mm-hmm. But especially in like philosophy or nutrition, I'd read a lot. So I enjoyed connecting with people. But then I went on another binge. I cheated by saying I'm not going to read. And then I watched every TED Talk ever made. And it's only a year and a half. Yeah. At that point, now there's way more, obviously, because it keep coming every
like
week.
TEDx and,
yeah. So I watched a year and a half, on average, like 3 hours and 20 minutes of TED Talks. One of my first employees, Marcus, was a roommate of mine at that time in Paris. And every morning, he still jokes in our company meetings. He's like, oh, yeah. And then I would wake up at like 6:15 and you get the TED intro music. And he's like, oh, Daryl's watching TED Talks. So I can get a little obsessive about things. And then I went on this podcast pre. So now I controlled it only on road trips. Mm, so it's cool. Like on a road trip. Mm. And then I listen to like hours and hours of podcasts, but I faced it now a little to a controllable level.
Mm.
But aren't they great podcasts?
The like I don't think there's a problem with it. I just think it's like, there's also a lot of information. So like, do you ever get to a point where you have so many tools or, you know, forms of inspiration where you're like, which one works for me? Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever get overwhelmed?
Well, I look at it like a DNA string, you know, like the DNA string crosses and goes off and kind of twirls. And that's how doing and learning should be. So there's a phase when you learn a lot, you do less. And there's a phase when you do a lot, you learn less. It's like, and then you need these points of reflection. So I think you can do that in small cycles during the week. Like you have learning days or more intensive podcast listening days. Obviously, if you're in traffic all the time, that might be convenient as well. Or you go on a certain month, like it's super busy work month, and then you stop to reflect. And maybe you read, you journal, you meditate, whatever is your way of learning. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of go back into it. I feel like a lot of people also think and study too much and then they don't do. And vice versa, there's some people who always do and they never stop. So.
Yeah.
The balance of those two.
Yeah. I was talking to someone recently about like kind of similar where it's like you kind of go inward and you like we're talking about now for November and December, we're kind of going inward in our little cave and working on some projects and not traveling as much and not doing as many interviews. But there is that time for expansion and kind of going out and then in and out and in.
It's like exercise. Like obviously you have the stressor of the exercise and then you recover. And like that, that cycle, it's like, it would be boring if life would be flat and always the same. So going the other way to look at it, at least my life, I'm not sure if anyone else can relate, but the only way to go far is to go too far. Because otherwise you didn't know where far is.
Mm.
If you predetermine where far is. So whatever you do, like if you travel and do the shows, then you do a lot of them. And then you really take a step back and not do at all.
Mm.
Or you take a real break.
Yeah, that's what we've done is like doing too much. And now we have to like swing the other way and kind of like recalibrate how much that we're going to do.
Have you surveyed, by the way, your listeners?
The Facebook group,
like
to be honest.
Talking.
Yeah, the DMs and the Facebook group provide like us a good pulse of everything.
But that's a good point.
I don't really want.
Yeah.
I don't really. It's like I don't. I am in constant communication with them mm-hmm. all day. My life is them. I just don't really want to. I don't really want to read.
Maybe this is a
right
guy.
Now.
Maybe this is a guy thing because not applicable to women. Mm-hmm. But I'm wrong constantly. Mm-hmm. Like constantly, what I think is right, often not right. Mm-hmm. So
what's an example
for our company particularly? It's yeah. so important that like whenever we come out with a new product or whatever we do, we also have this private Facebook group called mm-hmm. the Shroom Club. And then we send everybody who bought a product a survey. You always learn so much. Like you think, oh, this is the thing. And then, no, it was not.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think it's a good practice. But I would need someone else to read the response.
Yeah. Sure. I read the cards. I read the reviews.
I just wouldn't want to like, I wouldn't want to be here thinking about like what one person said about yeah. the direction. You know what I mean? I don't really.
Yeah.
It's yeah, important
as a,
to
as
me,
a creative, you can't listen too much feedback either because exactly. then you lose who you are.
Yeah.
Just, it's a good check-in.
Yeah. It's a good practice. What else do you do at the company? Like, what are some things that you...
very good question. My team asks that all the time. What do you do?
But like, what are some other practices like surveys that you've learned to do at the company that have, you know, provided an impact that you've seen?
As far as getting feedback, I love a 3-star review because like, there's always that like 5-star, everything is perfect, which is awesome because it keeps you going. Those 5-star reviews really fuel you. And there's the 1-star, this sucks. Like, oh, great. What did I learn from this? Mm. But it's like the 3-star review who wanted to love you, but something was not quite there. Those are valuable, I think. Mm. Something to learn.
Mm. What's an example? Like what do people, I guess, what would people say?
We suck at packaging often because we took a very challenging, like almost all the superfoods and healthy products came in either plastic tubs that we didn't want to do or big bulk bags that you would scoop. And it's great if you're like full on committed to the lifestyle. But then if you're a new person, it's kind of scary. A lot of people end up buying big bags. So like I have a whole cupboard of various tubs and bags that I never use, you know, mm-hmm. it's same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the point was that like, how can you make it so easy that it's so easy to add to your diet? And then we had these single packets and just that there's so many small things in a small packet. It's like the Terraline.
Yeah.
Like that's an example. Like I've been 5-6 years working on this, getting the Terraline optimized. So that's why I appreciate the Japanese. I feel like they really love anything of small detail. Mm-hmm. They just like hone in on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they master it. They don't settle for the first right answer. They find like an even better answer.
I feel like they would be like, or they are a good culture of feedback too. Mm-hmm. You know, giving and providing feedback and having it less be like less ego. Because in the United States, I was just thinking about, I was in Japan like a few weeks ago and I was thinking about that when I was there. I was like, because in the United States, we are so like self-focused and because capitalism makes people want to be unique and be different and be better than the other person. Mm-hmm. It's like everyone tries to differentiate themselves. Everyone tries to get noticed. Everyone does all these things to like get noticed and be different. But in Japan, they don't really do that, you know, as much as we do. It's more of like easing into the harmony of like working together and living together and being a part of this community and being happy with like working a job, having a family and like being very good with that. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I agree.
So how is that you're feminist?
Oh, what?
How's that shirt feminist?
Oh, it's a pun. I'm wearing a shirt that has a periodics table.
It's really cool.
That says I wear this shirt periodically. I don't know if we should spend the podcast time on this. I don't think this is a rabbit hole.
This is what they want to hear. You said it.
About periods. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm going to blush.
I'm getting it.
Yeah. Are you getting it now?
Oh, I get it.
I'm like...
I get it.
I'm the wrong guest for this one.
No, you're not.
You'll have a better one.
I'll wear it.
Someone else will talk about that.
Well, speaking of like just kind of company culture too, I think like you guys are growing so rapidly and I can imagine that it must be rewarding and challenging to kind of keep up with, you know, if everyone's happy and like how do you kind of create that environment where people are really pumped? And we know a handful of your employees who are just so excited to go to work every day and whenever we meet with them, like, I mean, it's just a joy. And that, I don't think that's very common. So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's very hard. And I think it doesn't, you don't even have to have a company. You can maintain a culture within your group of friends, or if you work for someone else, like you're part of the culture, or within your family or in your relationship. Like there's some good best practices how to, you know, manage the culture of your relationship or your friendship, but it's not easy, definitely. Like one of the hardest things, like making a product is difficult. Dealing with legal stuff is difficult. Selling products and managing operations difficult. But for me, at least, like the by far the hardest thing is like people, because it's like ever changing and only whatever 25% of the communication is verbal. So there's a lot of thoughts and feelings, emotions that don't get expressed. So it's super hard, and by no means we're doing a perfect job with it. I think some of the stuff that you can consider is, first of all, like really spend time to think who you are and what you want. And for us, we build this warm principle for all our employees early on. And then you cannot forget it. Like, remember why you started. Same if you start something else, like you guys started podcasting. I'm sure it's valuable, like once a year, every 6 months to stop. It's like, hey, why do we do this? Why this is important for us? Why are we so passionate and excited to do it? Because you forget it so easily, even if you love it. And for us, we build this like, it was called the warm principle originally, and then we added a letter. So I think that's something. Then we don't really have an office culture. So we now do have a couple offices, but you don't have to go. So then it's really important for us to meet in person and really spend time. Yeah. So we're just in Stockholm, the whole team. And those are also important things. But it comes down to the day-to-day stuff is who you are. And then obviously who you hire is a huge factor. Like we've made some mishires and, you know, and those can bite you in the butt quite a lot. And you just kind of, you got to recognize it early on if they're fit. Because they might be a fit to some other culture. It doesn't mean they're a bad employee, but it's like our company culture is very unique and it's not for everyone. So just figuring out who's the right person.
Mm. What is the company culture like?
I don't know. Is it because Finnish people don't want to talk to anyone or whatever? It's very independent. It's like, I don't, like, you know, for example, Ari or Celis, I don't check in with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we
are very autonomous.
I said originally that we'll never have managers or meetings or business cards, and I've had to break all rules, but I try to limit them. So we have every week or every 2 weeks a company call that is an hour. Do you share kind of what's going on a little bit? Everybody kind of gets to share what they're excited about. But yeah, we don't try to limit meetings and somebody managing someone. Like everybody should have a clear role. That's what at least we attempt. I think it's quite passionate. We work a lot and hopefully it comes out of the just the excitement to do what we do. So I think we're a pretty hardworking company as well.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like it gives you people the power to, like it empowers people. I feel like if you always have to check in with someone or feeling like someone is looking over your shoulder, at least for me personally, that would be half of my energy spent would be like, are they, am I doing it right? Instead of really creating a clear path yourself or a vision yourself. So
there was some statistics is that like, was it by 2025 or something like half of the Americans will be self-employed or something like that. So entrepreneurship is in massive increase, not just in a way of like, hey, I'm going to start the next Google or Uber, but just the fact that like company sizes are getting smaller and there's more like freelancers, contractors, like you, everybody kind of is becoming a little bit like that. And in that situation, it's really important that you know what you want and yourself, you're managing yourself at some capacity.
And it's cool too, like when you do give people, empower them, you know, to be autonomous and like do the job within the guidelines that you provide, like it's really beautiful what can come out of it that you may not expect. And I feel like we've done, you know, with Chloe, who's on our team, like we've given her very loose guidelines and kind of just letting her do her thing. You know, she has an understanding of what we're looking for, but she's been able to do like way more than we could have ever asked for by giving her very strict specifications. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think your company would be so big? Like, did you ever have like know that like this was really going to be?
Yeah, no. It's like when you have a dream and you dream, it's not really, I didn't doubt it. But then you don't always think further. Is that what then? It's like,
Totally.
Is, here, I'm going to do this. Great. but you didn't think like, what does that look like actually? Sometimes pretty funny. Mm-hmm. So I never thought how many employees we had. I always thought like, oh, I'll do that and that and that on the impact, but then realized that that actually requires a lot of people. So I don't know what would be an anecdote for you. Have you guys been recognized? Mm-hmm. Do you have fans? You mm-hmm. spot you, Erwan, somewhere?
Regularly now.
Yeah.
But so I was thinking everyone, you too. I know people know you.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think, I didn't start the business thinking that one day I'm in like sweatpants.
I know, literally. Getting, I like, can't look like a slob anymore.
Mm-hmm. I still do.
Yeah, same.
But stay true to yourself, Lindsay. don't forget who you are.
So true. But sometimes we're walking through the airport like little bears. We're literally, it's almost
sometimes
comical.
I just want to have a bitchy face. Freely. I just want to look like a bitch freely.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't. I didn't start the company thinking that that would happen.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the one you do impact or reach an X amount of people, then the probability of somebody spotting you, Air One bathroom, as you're washing your hands, it's like, totally. It goes up.
In the urinal next to you, you're like, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
You're like, not
I'm a Truman.
Yeah, literally. Like, so do I take shower in the morning?
So, yeah. why do you have stevia in that one product?
Do you?
Oh, man.
Stevia?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have like, have the product stone and have a new.
I don't think I've looked at it. Oh, in the hot cocoa stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good. I mean, I love them all. The latte is really good. The matcha latte is really, really good.
Golden.
So lately, because we're in our new place, I have been making my bed every day.
You have?
I have.
That changes the game, actually.
It's crazy.
That's me.
I don't, but it's funny. It's very Krista, where it's the surface. My comforter is straight underneath. It's a big old mess. Underneath, my Brooklyn and sheets are literally in crumbles.
In a clump. Yeah, I mean, I'm fucking loving these sheets. Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, it's like I'm in a hotel bed. Which for some reason to me is desirable.
But a clean one that's like one that you love.
Yeah.
They're just like silky smooth.
They're just very comfortable, very premium quality.
Yes.
It's a funny thing. As you get older, you realize like I used to have those like weird stretchy sheets in college. Yeah. Just it was like the thing
mine
to do.
Mine were gray. Oh, and then I had a Tommy Hilfiger.
Mine were olive green. Comforter. But anyway, once you get a taste of something that is higher quality and really well made, you cannot go back. And Brooklinen is that for me.
Yeah.
And they've really simplified the process. So a lot of these companies are marking up the sheets like 300%. So they take out the middleman. They're really modernizing this like old industry. They care about quality and how their sheets are made, and it shows. It's amazing.
They have 30,000 like 5-star reviews.
I know.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
Can you help us with our podcast reviews?
Truly.
Right? But I've really been loving sleeping in my Brooklinen. Justin loves it too. It just makes me feel better in the morning. I feel good at night. Mm-hmm. What's nice about them, and I don't know if they mean to do this, is they're always the right temperature. So they're always like a little cooler, which feels so good. Like they're cool and soft, or if I want them to be warm, it's just, they're really nice. So we're really excited to be working with Brooklinen. We know you will love their quality, quality sheets.
And any moms out there, they have Brook Littles, which is so sweet. Mm. So that's sheets for your baby's crib. So for our listeners, super excited, brooklinen.com. You can use our promo code ALMOST30 for $20 off and free shipping. So that's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code ALMOST30 at checkout for $20 off and free shipping. We usually crave at the end of a long day on tour, a beautiful, fulfilling long day, I need a little sweet.
I need a little sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect salty sweet. I'm a salty sweet girl. And what I love about Skinny Dipped is that although it's covered in like this natural cacao dusty thin layer of chocolate, it has the almonds in there too. So it's not a hot, it's not a blood sugar spike. You don't feel like crap afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you feel satiated because of the fiber and the almonds.
Yeah, the fiber is key. Mm-hmm. The protein, it kind of has all you need. I usually have a few before a workout.
good idea.
But yeah, it's so good. So they have different flavors out now, tastes out now. So it's the cacao, espresso, raspberry, peanut butter is my favorite.
Peanut butter, always.
And now they have a Greek yogurt covered for kind of like tis the season. It's like an orange cranberry, and then they have a pumpkin spice. Delicious. So good.
I love the pumpkin spice.
So, yeah. So if you can have dairy, those are really, really good. I just love this brand. Their story is amazing. It is a women owned company, which we love, and we're going to be talking to them soon. So stay tuned for that. We always love a founder story. You know, I know you guys are always looking for expanders as you start your own businesses and follow your dreams. So skinnydipped.com. You can use our code almost30, ALMOST30, for 20% off your first order. I would buy in bulk.
Buy in bulk, guys. You're going to eat it all. Enjoy.
Where do you grow the mushrooms? And what does the environment have to be like for them? And then do each of the types of mushrooms have to have different environments? Like, what's the growing process like for so many mushrooms?
Yeah, for sure. So our company name, Four Sigmatic, actually comes from a very scientific, geeky math thing on that we represent only the 50 most researched foods in the world. So on a basically out of 1.8 million edible things you could eat for your fuel, most of them are just normal. It's on a creates like a normal distribution, a bell curve, and every standard deviation from the mean is called a sigma, which is again very geeky. But so out of those 50, some of them are really like well known, like green tea, lemon, coconut, cinnamon. Some are less known, like turmeric or ginseng or maca, and some are like really unknown that we try to popularize, like let's say lion's mane and reishi. And what's unique to all of them, though, is that they are tends to be the most nutrient-dense, holy, sacred foods from a certain region. So every region has their own sacred foods. Like in Finland, it's rhodiola, chaga, nettle, sea buckthorn. Those are like the holy Nordic foods, you know? And in another region, it's something totally else. So cacao, our cacao comes from Ecuador because like that's the home of that. And for every mushroom, there's also a different region. So chaga is a Russian name and ours comes from Siberia just because you could also get it in Finland and Sweden, Canada on some extents, but it's really like originally a Russian superfood. So that comes from there versus cordyceps, which original Latin name is Cordyceps sinensis, which is Latin means cordyceps from China. Sinensis means from China in Latin.
Oh, cool.
So that is like Tibet, this Bhutan as well, but mostly from like Tibet, and it's like this legendary superfood that only grows in this high altitude. So every food has their own like regions.
Right.
And in some cases we use a secondary region. So like coffee is originally from Ethiopia, but cultivated in Yemen. But Yemen, because of various reasons, hard to get coffee. So we use a lot of Central American coffee that is anyway like a little easier flavor. But altogether, we source from like 37 countries. And to answer your question, where do they grow? They grow mostly on trees. And it's important that you collect them from quite remote areas or because they can accumulate and hyperaccumulate toxins. So mushrooms are like the vacuum cleaners of the forest. So for that reason, it's also important that even though we collect them from about 1/3 is wild crafted or harvested in the wild. And you still kind of lab test them to make sure that sometimes Mother Nature is unpredictable. So test them for radiation, heavy metals, all that stuff. So even though our products are certified organic, we still test every one of them for pesticides. Because you never know.
Yeah. Like the radius.
So do you have like, is there a team then that would go in the forest in Siberia and find it?
Yes, there is a team. We don't employ those people.
Okay, right, right.
So we work with harvesters that harvest. Chaga is kind of easier because you can harvest it 12 months of the year. There's certain mushrooms that are very seasonal, so you have to harvest them in a certain period. But for the quality, we have just one person who basically only does lab testing.
Whoa. Are there any mushrooms that grow in California? That you could eat?
Oh, yeah. We can go foraging. Topanga.
Like turkey tail?
Turkey tail, yes. How do you know that?
I knew it. I saw it yesterday.
How do you know that?
That's I literally go to that mushroom. I was like, I think that's turkey
tail. Didn't Justin like call out a turkey tail?
Yeah. Well, that was here in Japan. We were in Japan. We saw mushrooms.
Well, almost all the mushroom names, except like chaga and like cordyceps, are actually from Japan. So here's the trick when you go to get sushi or a hot pot or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's shiitake, maitake, and okitake. The take, T-A-K-E, means Japanese, is mushroom in Japanese. So,
oh,
wow.
There we go.
And there's all these cool names. Why the name like that? Like maitake means the dancing mushroom. And so mai means to dance, and then take is a mushroom. And the reason was that the samurais, the Japanese samurais, were very stoic, kind of like mm-hmm. Nordic people, and super composed, but they started dancing out of joy when they found this mushroom in the forest.
Wow.
Because it's so delicious and good for you.
Wow.
So
I feel like you've reached millions more people since mm-hmm. we last spoke. Yeah, and I just crazy. Like, I'm always curious about
billions.
How does it feel to be a millionaire?
Truly. Tell us what it's like. We can't wait. Just kidding. You don't need an answer.
I feel like, well, we see it in the group. We mm-hmm. have like over 8,000 people in the group. And I actually should search keyword for Sigmatic because the conversations we have are like, awesome. Brag.
They but, love you.
But yeah, it's changed people's lives because mm-hmm. either they've been hooked on coffee and they've been dealing with anxiety, or it's been a part of a ritual that they've created for themselves. So like, what have the stories coming in been like, and how has it like felt?
Mm.
Yeah, there's definitely like some things as an entrepreneur that are exciting to do for the first time. Like, oh, you're in like Vogue wrote about us, and the first time it's cool. And not to say that it's not cool on the second time. It's less cool on the second time.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But when there's like somebody sends you this like handwritten letter, that's never not cool. You know, it's like, it's just like somebody took the time to handwrite a letter. Mm. People leave me gifts at the Shroom Room.
Oh, and there's like underwear and stuff.
It's like a shrine.
It's like yeah. panties.
It's like, here lies Tara.
No, it was last time somebody, I wish I would remember your name, I would give you a shout out, but made a lion's mane shaped pin.
Oh, cool.
And like craft, arts and crafts, like made a pin of a lion's mane mushroom for me.
That is so
very sweet.
That's so nice. Oh. Fan art? What the heck?
Fan art.
I feel like for us, it's like when I meet them in person.
Do you get the pennies? Mm-hmm. Is that why you brought it up?
Yeah. Men keep sending us their underwear.
Dirty boxers.
Kids and all.
But with the stains and everything.
Like poop stains and everything.
Lucky you.
I know. But it's like you read something and you're like, cool, but because it's digital.
You could probably sell that in Japan. Just they buy all kinds of kinky stuff. You just
They probably would. Did you know actually on eBay, you can't do anything related to like the body?
Really?
Mm-hmm. I didn't. I'm sure there's a Japanese alternative.
Like, if you were to do like a toenail.
Okay,
or
if you're listening, okay, 100 blog, DM her.
DM me. I'll give you my address for your poops. Underwear.
And if you know how to sell men's used underwear to Japan at a nice profit.
Can you Poshmark it, ladies? Let me know if you can help me Poshmark all this dirty underwear.
I'm dying for a stalker, so bring it on.
Literally.
Okay.
I mean, I can imagine too. I mean, this is really going to go off the course, but I feel like when you said people leave things at the Shroom Room for you, I can imagine like girls in LA are crushing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, trying to get that mushroom daddy.
They like leave their number at the Shroom Room.
Yeah, sugar daddy / mushroom daddy.
No, it's we're lucky enough. Stevia there's a couple daddy. Hunks working there. And so they catch the thunder.
Wait, what's his name? We've met him before. He's so sweet, but he's a girlfriend.
Who?
Oh, Aaron.
Aaron. Remember we were with Ari at Air One and we ran into Aaron.
Oh, he was adorable. So he was young though.
So young.
Yeah. He was so sweet. He was young.
Yeah, he has a girlfriend.
I see you. You're putting him on the front line.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You're busy.
It's like the defensive tackle there. You know?
Literally.
Blocking it. No. Trust me, I'm not that many people bother me. So.
Really?
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm surviving. Good.
And then how was tour on the bus? Like, how was that?
Well, so this is like the first tour. It's called the West Coast, mm-hmm. the Best Coast. And if you're listening, no clue what we're talking about. We have mm-hmm. a mushroom bus called the Mori, the Mushroom Mobile. And it's shaped like a psychedelic Amanita mushroom that it travels around the country, giving people free mushies. And just been going on the West Coast up and now coming down. Just left Wyoming, now heading to like Utah National Parks.
Wow.
And whenever this will come out. But so that's the tour. And then partly we wanted to see if Mari holds up on the road. Does he break down? Because Mari's not the young boy anymore. And so we're going to do a longer tour just then around the country if possible. And yeah, the reception is kind of crazy. I feel like we should probably just write down stories that happen. If you see a mushroom buzz.
Are you filming it?
We filmed the start of it, but not since then.
Yeah.
But there was a case when at this store, New Seasons, which is actually in the Pacific Northwest, natural product store. And the bus was parked down out in front. And there's this older gentleman sees it on the parking lot. And our guy working there is like, hey, come over. Come check it out. And he was like busy building something. And he's like, no, I'm fine. No, come over. Check it out. And he kind of slowly, this like 60 plus year old guy kind of comes, looks at it, doesn't say anything. It's like, you can go inside. You can check it out. I'll be right with you. I just need to finish this one thing. And he's kind of working on it. And he goes inside, sits down at the bench and sits down, doesn't say a word. Sits down there for like a couple hours. Like basically sheds a tear. Doesn't say anything and leaves. But apparently, he had a memories from his childhood, basically from the hippie days of mushroom buses.
Oh my God.
And he just sat there, went through a memory lane. I don't know what he was thinking.
Didn't have any mushrooms.
and just were in his emotions. This older, older gentleman, and then just left.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
I wonder if that was like a human or just like a little soul.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That was a little spirit.
So wait, who's driving the mobile?
Right now, Bryce.
Right.
Bryce and Maury.
Bryce
is alone,
Do you have check-ins like with a radio or you're like, roger that,
Bryce. You okay?
No, checking in.
He's like, no. Back on the one.
Back on the one. Yeah, just call him. Yeah, it's a little tricky being in a national park. The reception is our in and out.
Sure.
It's part of the adventure. We didn't have cell phones.
I love, so too, fun. That you're so...
I know.
No, I literally... She actually does know.
We read our
minds. It's fucked up. She does know.
Yeah.
I love, too, that for Sigmatic, you guys have been so like forward-thinking with like your marketing and advertising and unafraid. Like, you guys have done such a great job of being on amazing podcasts, such as Almost 30, and other good ones. Like, you guys have been, like, a pioneer in that way. And, like, doing the Shroom Bus, it's, like, it is for marketing, but it's also for the experience, but it's also to get in front of the people. Like, you guys are just not very cookie cutter with the way that you guys reach your customers, and it's really refreshing.
Yeah.
That's a very kind of way to tell that. We're immigrants.
We've been doing this for years.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. But it's like this, like, very refreshing. You don't really give a fuck about like what might either not necessarily it's just, work. It's just like
it's not like I start a business. I try and get in Vogue. Like, you get in Vogue without even trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like just the general way.
It's nice and like. You know, even just working like with Ari and like partnering with you guys, like it's just,
it just
feels like this freedom to collaborate.
Yes.
And like, it's a product, it's easy because we believe in it and we use it every day. So it's not really so much of a stretch, but it's just across the company, it feels that way. So I think you should be very proud.
And I love Celeste too.
Oh,
angel. Celeste, who does your social.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There was this one time I was wearing Outdoor Voices, this like sleek little number, and I went on a day date and then I went to the gym all in the same day, all in the same outfit. It was fashionable. And, you know, these fabrics are, you know, tested for performance. I'm very picky when it comes to that. You know, I work out for a living with SoulCycle, but the clothing is engineered for performance and designed for having fun, like going on a date or just going around town. I just love them so much. And you know what? Every body looks great in Outdoor Voices. I am obsessed with their signature textured compression. It hugs in the right places, sculpts, and supports me. So, you know, whether I'm running or hiking or just like walking around, I just feel supported. You know what I mean, ladies? I love this brand. And you know why? It's because Outdoor Voices is not only an apparel brand, it's a community as well. So they regularly host events across the country just to keep people doing things. And their famous hashtag is hashtag doing things. And they just want to unite people who love to move and exercise and just feel good in their bodies and like to have fun. And I just love that about them. Outdoor Voices, I know you are going to love them. It is comfortable. It is fashionable. It is sleek. It is simple too. None of the designs are so over the top that I'm like, when am I going to wear that? It's versatile. Just trust me on this one. So for our listeners, you can go to outdoorvoices.com/almost30 and use the code almost30 for 20% off your first order of $100 or more. So that's outdoorvoices.com/almost30 and use the code almost30 for 20% off your first order of $100 or more. Let us and Outdoor Voices know how you are getting out there and hashtag doing things. Exercising every day is so much more than setting a record or reaching a goal weight. This is about feeling good in the body that you are given, feeling good in community. I just love what this brand stands for. Outdoorvoices.com/almost30. Use our code almost30, 20% off on your first order of $100 or more.
I need to update you. Okay, so as you've been probably guessing, Almost 30 is expanding. Things are getting a little bit crazier in the best way. Our team is growing. Our brand base and client relationships are thriving and expanding by the second. And we're so grateful. And we've been able to keep our sanity because we use HoneyBook. HoneyBook. I swear this have... I'm not good at this shit. I am not good at client matters, the endless emails, the day-to-day, the payment collections, this, that, the other thing, paperwork, all of that stuff. If you're a small business owner out there, which I know there's a ton of you, how much time are you spending on all the little stuff that really keep your business going, but it's kind of like this nitty-gritty detail that takes a lot of your energy? Well, we got you. HoneyBook has got you. So they do everything from scheduling, appointment reminders, invoices, reoccurring payments, and you're able to upload company graphics to keep it consistent across the entire portal. It is really on point and helping us so much. So thank you, HoneyBook. Truly, shout out. HoneyBook.com. You can use the promo code almost30. Forget this. 50% off the first year. 50% off. You might as well try it. Solo entrepreneurs, creative entrepreneurs, anyone. HoneyBook, HoneyBook.com. Promo code almost30 for 50% off your first year.
Oh, I want to say about the tour. That's exciting to think about people in the middle of the country.
We need to get you a tour shirt.
Yeah.
Can we go on the, like, I want
to, yeah, if you want to sponsor us being on the bus Joshua for a Tree. Few stops, we can.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree. Totally.
We're should going. Do some shrooms in Joshua Tree and then drink.
Totally. Okay. Let's, yeah. Have you ever thought about doing that? Like a retreat center?
Yeah.
And you could do shrooms at the retreat center?
I've never thought that somebody would do shrooms at Joshua Tree. That is a new idea. You're That's a great hilarious. Idea. That's I don't know how did you come up with that one.
Hey,
but that totally
fresh.
Makes sense because it is like being in space.
Like, have you ever heard of Coachella?
Have you? No, I'm kidding.
Okay, we'll be on the shroom bus in St. Joshua Tree. We'll be sponsored. I'll talk to Ari about what we're going
to
do.
We'll talk to Ari.
You can go to
Let's bypass Tarot.
You can go to Ojai.
I would love that. I would love that.
And tell us about the book.
Yeah.
We are approaching the holiday season.
What inspired it? Shrooms?
Let's see what you did
there. I
feel
like you told me this story either on or off the podcast.
Probably off the podcast. Yeah. It's my like Nordic heritage and this indigenous people called the Sami. So the book is called Sand Assault Shrooms. It's a book about a 10-year-old little girl who's super curious about everything. And her dad tells... her bedtime story about the origins of Santa Claus, where Santa Claus is originally from. And a lot of the reasons why our holiday celebrations are what they are. For example, why there are red ornaments on the Christmas tree, why the Christmas tree is a spruce, why there's a star on top of it. Why does the Santa come through the chimney? Doesn't make any sense. You can't even fit through the chimney. Why is this part of the story? And what's the origin? How did Santa Claus become the soda Santa of what Coca-Cola represents, and it's totally different. Oh. And it comes from this 5,000-year-old tribe called the Sami. And it's since then, many cultures have added their own spice and flavor to the whole big picture. But originally, this Sami, this nomadic reindeer herders. So, for example, people think St. Nicholas is where Santa Claus comes from, and they think St. Nicholas is German, but actually St. Nicholas was Turkish. There's definitely no reindeers in Turkey. So, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, whoa, if you don't think about it, it's like, it doesn't add up. So, mm-hmm, where's this all coming from? And it comes from this small tribe that is still there.
Wow.
Quite small, though. But anyway, they're alive and still living to their traditions. And this book kind of explores the story through the eyes of a 10-year-old little girl.
Wow.
So, it's a children's book for adults.
Where did you find out that information? Or have you always known?
Well, it's just kind of uncovered, definitely, like, through my heritage. Like, some of the Christmas traditions that we had were based on the Sami traditions.
Yeah.
And then the surprise, surprise, the one of the cornerstones of the whole story is the world's most famous mushroom that nobody knows. And it's called Amanita muscaria. It's the mushroom emoji. So when you do the mushroom emojis, the red mushroom with the white dots.
Love him.
And that's incredibly famous mushroom, but nobody knows about the mushroom. And that mushroom is, for example, can be Super Mario, you know, when it powers up. You know, a lot of that mushroom, like, kind of appears in Alice in Wonderland or Disney or Fantasia or Jefferson Airplane had this song, White Rabbit. And, like, it's in pop culture time after time after time. People don't know about it. It's actually part poisonous. So you don't die from it, but it's poisonous. So you kind of get sick, but it's also psychedelic. And it's a psychedelic mushroom that is illegal in every state in the U.S. except Louisiana.
Illegal?
Legal. It's legal everywhere else.
Really?
Except in Louisiana.
Interesting.
How would you get it?
Yeah, where do you get it?
No.
I mean, I don't know.
I haven't done shrooms, so I don't know. No, you have?
I have, yeah, in Amsterdam. Yeah.
Anyway, this one is legal, unlike the psilocybin is illegal. Very illegal, actually. Very criminal.
Psilocybin is?
Very criminal. Yeah, you get into it. It's the worst kind from the eyes of the law. It's the most legal thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Over heroin?
It's in the same bucket.
Same category.
Yeah.
Narcotics, I guess, then. Is that the category?
No, it's like
class something.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's that mushroom called?
Amanita. Amanita. That's the family. And then the exact genus is Muscaria, Muscaria. And it's called the fly agaric in Europe because it's used as a way to kill flies. You put that mushroom with milk on the corner and the flies will eat it and the flies will die. It's a pretty radical mushroom. Anyway, it's based for Christmas. And how is it based for Christmas? Where does the reindeer comes from? Why is Rudolph flying? All that stuff totally makes sense. You just got to kind of learn the history. I think there's a lot of celebrations that, including us adults, but definitely kids don't know. Like, you go and one of my favorites in the U.S. is Cinco de Mayo. Everybody wears a sombrero and a false mustache and whatever, and they party and they yell, "Happy Mexican Independence Day." It's not even Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah, it's leave, like, it to America.
We are real special as a society.
And Thanksgiving, obviously. And there's, like, all these, like, holidays that have...
That's like Who's the comedian? He's the older guy. He just got caught perving. Mm-hmm. And he does Indians. He talks about Indians. Mm-hmm. He's like, people came and the Native Americans were like, "No, we're not from India." And he's like, "Well, we're calling you Indians." You know, just like blatant disrespect.
I'll just keep
everyone.
It that way. Yeah,
literally.
Because
like,
they thought
Indians.
They were going to India. They're on their way to India. They got lost on the way. They're on the other side of the planet.
Yeah,
it's like, Indians.
Yeah,
you just don't know it.
Yeah, you just don't know it yet.
But you are now.
Yeah.
And still today, that's what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is Cinco de Mayo then?
It's Jesus a celebration Christ. Where the Mexicans won this French army. Anyway, it's a battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some of the holidays like Easter and Halloween, they're actually like super sacred holidays in a way. And you celebrate it, especially winter solstice, summer solstice, and the equinoxes. So here comes astrology and all this stuff. Different parts of the world, completely pre-internet, without knowing about each other. These indigenous tribes were completely in sync about their habits. And often that was related to seasonality. So obviously summer solstice and winter solstice are big things because it's like the day is the longest or the shortest. And in Lapland, where the Sami people are, when you're so far up north, like way beyond the Arctic Circle, it's extremely radical. Summer is 24 hours of sunlight, no night. And then the winter is pretty much the opposite. The sun barely comes up a little bit and goes down. Basically, you have no sunlight. So there, especially those 2 days were very kind of magical.
So. Wow. So could kids read this? Or is there like some, okay.
Not like if they can read.
Yeah.
If they can
I didn't know if there was like a
technically if they can
revelation that,
yeah.
Well.
So does he sell that one shroom? How did we talk about that one shroom?
Oh.
You know, the
psychedelic one?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
How did we start talking about that?
It's part of the Christmas story, Santa Claus.
Okay.
Does he sell it or?
Well, you got to read the book.
Okay. Dang. So this is crazy. That's crazy. I always thought St. Nick was.
No, it's actually not even near. Like there's even before St. Nick, there was a couple different varieties. If you have like a Russian friend or Ukrainian friend, they celebrate this person even still today called Ded Moroz. And Ded Moroz is much older than St. Nick. And it's exactly like Santa Claus. It has a blue outfit, you know, magic wand, a cape, beard. Wow. It looks exactly
like Merlin.
Yeah, pretty much. Wow. I mean, all the kind of wizards and... But the Sami people look like Anna and Elsa from Frozen. So they're very similar to that.
Wow. So, sorry, what was like the moment where you're like, oh, I want to write about this? Or did
like
you...
Like 10 years ago, I don't know, like a long time. And but like last year, I felt like... I knew about 2 years ago that Michael Pollan was coming out with a book about, you know, psychedelics. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting because he's like credible. He's not like a hippie woo-woo guy. And then I was like, oh, that's like people are getting more and more. You know, even though this has always been legal, it was not a topic it would be easy to bring up. And I almost avoided it because like every time I would talk seriously about the functional benefits of mushrooms like reishi or chaga, everybody's always like, are these magical?
And it's like, literally. Everyone goes, well, I'm not 30.
Yeah.
For almost 30. Literally. Yeah. It's like, okay. The same thing. I'm sure you get. Like, what kind of mushrooms are these?
Am I going to get high?
And everyone's like, so, but I'm not almost 30.
So we even changed the company's headline now to Everyday Magic. Mm-hmm. Just because of that. Because it's like, just kept going on going on the
what
magic.
What was it before? Remind me.
It was Eat Intelligence.
Oh, that must have been the very beginning. Because I've always
Everyday been. Magic.
And then.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
we're
how
we podcast Everyday Magic. Can we borrow it?
Stealing it.
Can we borrow it? Everyday Magic. So it's for adults.
Everyday 30.
Literally. So would people get it for their kids or get it for friends?
Both. I think it's a great book for adults as well. Even though it's in a children book format, it's still like an adult. Like you guarantee to learn something. And it's beautifully illustrated. So it's also like a fun little thing.
Cool.
I think it's a pretty swanky gift if you want to be the cool friend to your loved ones.
Oh,
get
I
the
love
Santa
that.
Salt shrooms.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Who illustrated it?
Our art director, Yuho, and he's done two children's books already.
Is he insane?
Insane?
Like good.
He's pretty good. He's been a comic book artist since he was like over 15 years.
Wow.
So he's had a comic book strip in one of the biggest newspapers in Finland forever. And he's done two books already.
Whoa. Wow.
So That's amazing. Pretty good.
What are you going to do for the holidays? Did you take time off? Like, how do you stay balanced?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good question.
I know.
The first question, can you stay balanced? Are you ever balanced?
Asking someone who watched every TED Talk.
Yeah, touche. If you're happy, like if you're, yeah, I was over it. The last 3 months was a drag. I mean, there's a lot of bad TED Talks. Like
there are so many bad ones.
First of all, there's a lot of them. There's like a lot. Like, and there's since then that I stopped, there's like even more a lot. But
they're getting real loosey-goosey about them.
And everybody has like their friend shared emailed or Facebooked or whatever. Like, look at this TED Talk. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. And it's like, there's like 50 of those, but then there's like 5,000 really, really bad or average ones.
Have you been asked yet? Because you obviously should have a TED Talk.
Yeah, I have not. No. Oh,
do you have to apply?
Yeah, you have to. I haven't applied.
You would
crush.
Yeah, you would crush.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like,
come
whatever.
On, close the loop on the TED Talk thing. Yeah, let's do your own.
And be like, wait, with your clicker, you're like, so when I watched every single TED Talk,
I learned what I shouldn't do.
I realized.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm excited for you guys to read Santa Salt Shrooms.
Me too.
I have to get
me too. I want to give it a
copy.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Done.
Yeah. Four Sigmatic
gifts. I always get stressed out about Christmas gifts.
No, this is an easy one. If you're panicking over Christmas gifts, it's like, this is the most low-hanging fruit of all time.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm down.
So wait, did you finish what you do to stay balanced? I want to like...
Not really. Okay. No, we cut it off. Physically, it's easier because like that's kind of my bread and butter. I sleep on top of a nail bed.
That's right.
And I eat shrooms and I exercise and all the jazz and go to nature. And like tonight, I'm going to see a sunset. A sunrise, sunset are really important for me. So I'm going to go on a sunset hike with my friend. Yeah. And I mean, nothing that your listeners wouldn't be aware of. It's usually actually not the new thing that you should. It's more like just stay on top of the basics. You know, it's like, it's nothing radical. Every now and then you discover something that is truly legit, awesome, good, but like a lot of it's so basics. So I do that. And I think more than there was a point when I was obsessed about like, how do I stay balanced? And then I realized like, no, I'm not on this planet to stay balanced. I'm on here to be happy. So while those two can happen at the same time, I shouldn't optimize my life to be balanced. I should optimize my life to be happy, to grow as a human being and help others. So I'm more obsessed about those questions. Like, am I having fun? Like if I go a couple weeks, like right now I was like in 8 weeks, 8 days home. And towards the end of it, I was like, not happy. So then I have to change something. So now I'm like home. And that was important because I realized like 2 weeks in a row is like, it was fun for the first 6 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, not so much fun. You know what I mean? So that's a bigger question. Or are we having an impact on people's lives? Can I help others? Am I learning? Like those are bigger questions for me. Mm. And sometimes you're balanced, sometimes you're not. What helps for me every now and then, I try to get perspective. Like when I go to a farm and just see kind of where you grew up and like also like how it is to be a farmer. Being a farmer is really tough. Like we're easy to like, oh, life's so hard. I've been working so hard. I'm like, no, you haven't. Like the actual hard work is something very different. And just kind of reminding of where people live and how they are. I mean, in LA, it's as easy as going to Skid Row once. And that kind of puts you in perspective.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think that's more. So I think the body, the physical body can do wonders, especially if you take care of the basics, like sleeping, hydration, movement, all that stuff. The harder part is like, are you emotionally and mentally energized? And I think versus like doing nothing or taking too much of a break, finding other ways to get energy emotionally and mentally. I'm sure if you guys read your community's notes and stuff, like there's a day when you're like, I don't feel like doing anything. And then you read those notes and you're like, actually, this is pretty dope.
Mm. Energy comes from like, as we progress, energy comes from like very unique places that I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
And then,
like cocaine.
Like even on, yeah, like cocaine and like when we're on
tour. You know, there was... Coca-Cola, there was a New York Times article that even in the 1980s, there was still Coke in Coca-Cola.
In the 80s?
Yeah. And it was not banned until 1930. So Coca-Cola contained sugar, caffeine, and cocaine when it became popular.
Wow. Well, that's a winning combo. A drug. No. I'm about to tell him that he has.
Or a Bayer company who made aspirin also invented heroin, and heroin was given to babies to sleep. Babies like crying in the corner, like, eh. It's like, oh, heroin.
Wow.
Boom. The baby's calm and happy.
I wonder
who
why.
Knew?
Wow. So crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I should be a little bit more tired when we're kind of going from city to city to city. I get very tired on planes. Like, I don't like flying in that way. So, but we do an event and like, I mean, we're like buzzing for like, hours and hours afterwards. So it's just like the people and the connection and just being ourselves feels so good and liberating and energizing. So
yeah people are like, are you so, because we were on the road for like 8 days or something, and I was like, are you so tired? I'm like,
no,
I'm not tired at all, because when you're doing the basics, sleeping, eating well, whatever, and I'm actually like thinking about receiving the energy from the people in the room, you know, it's easy.
Yeah, it flows.
Mm-hmm. close. Well, we're so excited about the book. We're so excited for you.
Yeah.
You just keep popping out books.
I know.
Yeah.
Is it weird to call yourself an author?
Yeah, because in Europe, if you're an author, it basically means you're broke.
You're a loser.
Yeah, you're totally going to get a job.
Really?
In America, I noticed like my first book became an Amazon bestseller. Everybody looked at you different. Oh, like when you're published author, like who's your publisher? Oh, wow.
Dude.
It's like, wow, I didn't realize that being writing a book is something like you're suddenly
who knows
legit.
Why?
It's like you're legit after
we
that.
Go back and forth with like kind of like what
I don't get
what it means. Like when people are like, I want to be a New York Times bestselling author, it's like, okay. Like cool. I just
that's
don't
incredible.
Get I don't really
and by the way,
understand
that
the
is,
connection.
That is also partly you can cheat on that. Like a lot of people
I think
like,
that's where we've seen the cheating, so we don't understand.
Yeah. I mean there's legit I think just the shout out on Ryan Holiday has a book called Perennial Seller. Do you know the concept? I haven't read it because I don't read books, but I've seen his talk twice.
Like I haven't even read my own book.
I have that one. Yeah. My book, by the way, doesn't require reading because you can also just look at the pictures.
Totally.
But yeah, he has this beautiful concept about things that have lasted like 100 years. Like why do... And how publishers actually make money with backlist sellers, like Catcher in the Rye just keeps on selling forever and ever. And like most of these books that the publishers pay a lot, they hype for a few weeks to a few months and then they don't, nobody buys them again. Huh. And but it's just like gives also a lot of examples of different businesses. One of the, my favorites out of there is Craigslist. And Craigslist makes now $1 billion in revenue. Of $900 million of profit. I think they have something like 30 employees. And they're just really this...
Huh? Who's Craig?
Well, Craig.
I want to work for Craig.
Google Craig. He has this cute hat, like a fedora almost. Like, and
of course
but,
he wears
but
a fedora.
But they're all like... what's the... I'm blinking on. What's the band that was just on tour where everybody goes and does acid on the concerts? Grateful Dead.
Fish. Oh, Grateful Dead.
Yeah, they're all like Grateful Dead fans. And they're like the least businessy persons. But it's just been providing people value because it's
Craig
mostly
Newark.
Free. It's mostly, but almost
all.
How
do they make money? Ads?
But they, it's certain. Yes, you found the Craig from Craigslist. Look at that. We just, if you want to join us in the conversation.
Yeah, you guys that's Google amazing. Craig from I can die happy knowing what Craig looks like.
But they mean when something comes, like I think in LA, if you want to post a car, you pay like, or a job, it's like $50. Like it's super reasonable. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, because almost all of it's free, they get insane traffic. But the point is not about the money making, is like they've provided value for 20 years constantly. And there's certain like restaurants and diners that don't need to market because they've just been doing. There's a diner in LA which has been open 365, 24/7 for I don't know how many, like 50, 60 years. They never have a lock. There's no lock on the door. You can't lock the restaurant, it's always been open. Just keeps on people coming at any time of the day. And just like, I think a lot of thing is done for like short-term success versus thinking of providing value at long-term and not worrying about kind of that. And same with books. It's like writing stuff that is meaningful in 20 years and not just today.
Mm. Yeah. It's point. Like, what's the, like, I guess the way I would approach it, and you know, if someone has the goal to be a New York Times bestseller, that's amazing and incredible. But I guess my goal would rather be like, I want to reach 1 million people with a message that is like, I'm dying to share.
Yeah.
And is meaningful for me. And like, I couldn't die without sharing the message rather than the end goal of being like, I will be this New York Times bestseller.
So like this book, Santa Soltrum's like children's book doesn't make any sense. Like this makes no sense for me and my busy schedule to make this book, but it's been inside of me for such a long time. I had to get it out.
Exactly.
And like last year I was like, I'll be bummed if I don't make this. Mm. So it was like, it was a point when I was like, it hurt more not to make it than to make it. Mm-hmm. And so I think then you need to share what you created because it's like you're bursting out of your bubble to just like tell that.
Yeah.
And the same with like you mentioned the mushroommobile, like it makes no financial sense for us to build a mushroommobile, which actually costs quite a bit to build and then put somebody on the road and all the drinks are free. And the same with our shroom room, it's all free. It's like makes no short term, it's a bad business decision. Like if somebody would come like, some CFO finance guys like, oh, that's the, what's this expense line? What is it? What are these Erewhon expenses and this mushroom reveal?
Why? But I think that's why, like, don't that's you feel like you. Energetically, like that you're getting equal or more back?
Oh, for 100%. Right? We wouldn't do it otherwise.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's like, it feels more fun. It's like
financially
fun.
Doesn't really make that much sense fun. For us, but exactly.
It's fun. Like if you don't do fun stuff.
Yeah.
Plus I think it's cool. I think I love the concept of having a mushroom mobile. You know, and like I said, if my business fails and I can just move into the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Totally.
Totally.
Well, you're the best.
You're the best.
You're the best.
We're proud of you.
You guys have grown quite a lot in the last year. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of probably the same reason, like just putting out good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been fun killer, to like grow with you guys filler. Too. Yeah, we're like, all right, we got him. raise the price a little bit from the beginning.
R is the best.
Four times.
Well, our community loves you and what you've done and what you're creating, and it's helped them a lot. So
Santa sold shrooms, and it's on foursigmatic.com.
Yeah, Amazon.
Cool.
Yeah,
Amazon too.
SantaSoldShrooms.com.
Oh, it has its own website.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Probably the biggest expense for the book is buying that domain.
Oh, wait, someone had it?
I can't remember. Yeah. We bought a lot of silly domains that were probably the biggest expenses sometimes. I don't know how much we paid for this one.
Oh my
I feel
God,
like I don't want to tell my team.
Yes.
Dude, like, I
why did you
that.
Spend that much on that domain?
God, I wish I was like a domain squatter.
I mean, those guys, some of those have made good money.
What do you have to do as a domain squatter? Kind of
you
like
bought,
back in the day, you buy domains that people want.
You just have to see the future. You just got to buy out domains that will offer a lot of value long term. Or you would have had to be in early and just kind of, you create this like pool of good domains.
I would almost feel bad squatting a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. It depends. I mean, you're not squatting on like hopelessmothers.com.
You know, like you'd squat on like Santa Sold Shrooms. Okay.
It's true, like, yeah, it wouldn't be cool to have like domains like Lindsay's a babe, Krista's a babe.com, you know,
I
whatever.
There is a KristaWilliams.com that I've checked out.
Yeah, but you need to get better than that. You gotta
go. Like Krista's, a babe works. But then babe. It's like a porn
the
site.
The real Krista Williams.
Because Krista's like borderline a porn star name.
I mean,
KristaWilliams.
I'm not gonna lie. If it's, isn't if it you Krista? If you position it the right way,
I think you're thinking of strong. Crystal.
Crystal, it definitely is. A
Crystal is
name.
Like, yeah.
Crystal is for sure.
All right, let's hop off and talk about porn.
Well, you know
names.
The song Freak-a-Leak?
Yeah.
My name is in Freak-a-Leak.
Really?
Yeah, is it's it? Like Krista, Shaniqua, Shavonda, Freak-a-Leak. No, is literally, it? My name is in
Is it?
Yeah,
I
swear.
I didn't even realize.
I was like, I finally feel heard.
He knows me.
Literally. Sure, I was like, is this a love song?
Well. I don't know. Oh, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. He's like, freakily.
Okay. If you, before we stop, I just want to encourage all the listeners to go and listen Freak-a-Leak.
Yeah.
Right now, go to Spotify.
Freak-a-Leak.com/almost30.
And then also make sure to use almost 30 as a code.
And hashtag that and take a video of yourself dancing to Freak-a-Leak where it says Krista. Totally.
Yes.
Which I'll actually, not planned. I'll give a free copy of Santa Soul Shrooms to who bits the best dance video of themselves.
To Freak-a-Leak.
Hashtag almost 30.
Yes. Hashtag almost 30 Freak-a-Leak.
Hashtag what if I'm not 30?
I'm going to do the video too.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know.
Good. See you, Liz.
Yeah.
All right. We love you. You're the best.
Thanks for having me on. Here.
You're welcome.
Bye guys. Bye. See you later.
Taro, our main man.
The dude. It was great to hang out with him after. I really enjoy his company.
Me too.
I love just passionate people.
I feel like he gets smarter every time.
I know. Literally. I love passionate people.
Adore. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening. We love you and appreciate all of the support, especially when you write a review on iTunes. It always
warms our heart. We've had just a bunch lately that have given us life. This one, this podcast is life. 5 stars. Honestly, I feel like these ladies are family. They have even shown up in my dreams. Weird, maybe, but true. Aww. I look forward to these episodes each week. They are my favorite. Thank you for creating this community. You are both in my heart and look forward to meeting you in December in Vancouver.
Oh, I can't wait to see you.
Cannot wait.
What's the name?
Her name is Yoga by Kayla.
Can't wait to see you, Kayla.
Canada.
Aww.
All right, y'all.
All right, guys. That was a great one. Well, see you in the secret Facebook group. See you at Almost 30 Podcast on Instagram. And then for all things related to starting a podcast, growing, monetizing a podcast, go to podcastpro.com, yourpodcastpro.com, yourpodcastpro.com. So make sure to check that out and you can join our 6-week course. We have registration open until December 15th at a lower price.
Mm-hmm.
Excited.
Can't wait.
Love you.